All right, let me open us up in prayer. God, thank you so much for this evening. We pray that you would use tonight and the series that we're in to help us become more like you, to use our time, our space, and our resources in ways that reflect your creative brilliance. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we're in the middle of a series here tonight, week two of a series we're calling Order Out of Chaos. We started last week, talked a little bit about the fact that God is a creative God, and a lot of what it means to be creative is to take things that are chaotic and bring order to them. So we talked last week kind of about how God's creative work in Genesis chapter 1 at the very beginning of the story is a creative work of bringing order, and how we were created as human beings, as God's representatives on earth, to be order bringers the same way that God brings order. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about three specific areas in which we can bring order: time, space, and resources. Sense of time that we'll talk about tonight and the idea of a schedule. Next week, to our space, the messy car, the messy room, the messy basement, the messy whatever. And then finally to our resources on the final week. Many of you know that my father was incredibly influential in my life. My dad's a great guy. Some of you gotten to meet him. My parents live in Rhode Island. And my whole growing up life, my father worked a ton. He worked somewhere between 50 and 60 hours a week, which is a lot anyway, except that he worked 50 to 60 hours a week at a job that was an hour to an hour and a half away from our home based on traffic. So do the math on that. He did a lot of working time, and somehow in the midst of all of that time working, he still had time to bring me to school. He still had time to coach my sports teams as a kid. He still woke me up every single Saturday morning to take me out to breakfast. I was telling you guys this story Sunday recently. At one point, I was trying to do the math on my father's schedule growing up, and to this day, I do not understand how he actually accomplished what he accomplished as a father. The only thing I can guess is that he didn't actually sleep. I have no idea. Because literally, he would, and not just for me, by the way, every Saturday night, my parents went out on a date. Every Saturday night, whether they'd had a good week or a bad week, whether they were in a good mood or a bad mood, I was left with my sister to fend for dinner. The only rules were you need to feed yourself, and we better not be able to tell from the status of the kitchen that you used anything. So we would spend the first half of my parents' date cooking and the second half of my parents' date cleaning for fear of the wrath of my mother if it was a mess when they got home. But all of that, my dad had certain priorities. One of those priorities was to financially provide for our family, and no matter what it took, he was willing to do that. But family was a major priority in that. And so no matter how busy he was, he scheduled time for his family. Saturday morning was for his son. He would drive both of us. I have a sister that lived at our house as well. Both of us, he would drive us to school. First, she would drop her off, then he would drop me off. Whatever he needed to do to spend time with his kids. And I tell you all of that because if you are a busy person who has priorities, the challenge that is in front of you is figuring out how to make your time match your values. How do you make your time match your values? And that is what my father did every week of my life. His time always matched. So if his work tried to get him to work on a Sunday, he would tell them to fire him because he was going to be at church on Sunday. That's what Sunday was for. So my dad always made sure that his time matched his values. And in this middle of this series where we're talking about bringing order out of chaos, imitating God's creative order, I wanted to pause on this idea of ordering our time. This comes from a verse in Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You can open to that if you like. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 has a great, great comment to make, and it says this. Does anybody want to sing it? Does anybody remember that song, For Everything there's a season, turn. Remember that? That's straight from the Bible. This particular verse says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And so our topic tonight is a time for everything and everything in its time. A time for everything and everything in its time. I want to examine three underlying assumptions that help us create a working schedule in our lives. Three underlying assumptions or beliefs or choices that we can make that will allow us to make sure that what we do is what we actually wanted to do. So let's look at this. First of all, open your Bible to Psalm 90, 12. Click over to Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. I find this fascinating. If you were to try to teach wisdom, practical everyday wisdom, I don't mean book smarts, but practical everyday life wisdom to somebody, where would you want to start? What is the most important thing you'd want to talk about? I thought about this the other day, and I was thinking, well, maybe it would be the fact that you need to be careful who you trust. That seems like a good place to start wisdom with. Maybe it would be hard work is important. For all of us, there are different ways we might start. It's fascinating to me. This is a prayer. Psalm chapter 90 is a prayer. And in that prayer, one of the lines of that prayer says this. Teach us, it's an address in God, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. God inspired this prayer in which it says that if we want to grow in wisdom, the thing we've got to grasp is that life is short. Life is short. There are limitations to your life. It gives us some obvious things we have to think about. First of all, if life is short, don't waste time on what doesn't matter. Does that make sense? You have a limited amount of time. It's very interesting to me. People use their resources based on whether or not they think that resource is limited or unlimited. For example, my children think that electricity is an unlimited resource. And so they do not turn the lights off. I remember, and I'm not even kidding, I'm not like being snarky. We had a conversation like 3 or 4 weeks ago. My kids are 8 and 10. I have clearly failed as a parent. We had this conversation where I was trying to explain to them that electricity costs money. And this was clearly not a concept that had been explained to them before. They really thought electricity just came free. And so why wouldn't you leave the lights on? I have noticed that my children also think the same thing about water. Water is an unlimited resource in my children's minds. So what do? Leave it on forever. And this is fascinating to me. As soon as we grasp the fact that something is a limited resource, we immediately treat it differently. Immediately. So, I know who pays the electric bill at my house. I know because it's me. So, when I'm leaving the house, I don't even just turn off the lights I used. I turn off the lights I didn't use. I turn off everybody else's lights. As a matter of fact, just years ago when we first started Wednesday nights, doing Wednesday night the way we do now. Some of you might remember this. There was a night where it was me and a guy that I was taking home one Wednesday night, and we were getting ready to put, everybody was gone. The last thing I was doing was walking through the entire building to shut off all the lights. And so I went over here, I shut off the lights because thinking about how expensive it would be to leave all of these lights on overnight was a very concerning thought to me because it's the church's money. I don't want to waste church money. And so I went over, I turned off the lights, and I have walked through this room in the dark probably 500 times. And so I very confidently walked down the aisle, walked very confidently into the lobby, or tried to. And the guy I was with had graciously closed the doors to the lobby that are glass, that you can't see in the dark. And my nose hurt so bad because I didn't see it coming and just whacked my nose on the glass. I thought for sure I was going to shatter the glass. I didn't. Apparently my nose is not that hard. But turning off the lights matters to me. Why? Because I know electricity is a limited resource. When you start to think about time as a limited resource, you will no longer say yes to everything else people want you to do. There are lots of people who want you to do lots of things, and honestly, there are lots of things you want to do with your time. The moment, if you think of time as an unlimited resource, you'll just do whatever comes up. Whatever your next good idea is, you'll just kind of go with it. Sure, why not? Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that thing over there. Sure, whatever. Doesn't matter. But the moment you realize time is a limited resource, you will be far pickier in how you spend it. And that is why I think the Bible says that if we want to be wise with our lives, we have to understand that there is a limit to our time. Can't do everything. So what do you focus on? You limit your focus to your highest priorities. Limit your focus to your highest priorities. Incredibly important. In my life, some of you already know this, I have two values, two priorities. That's it. I have two things that matter, East Coast International Church and my family, in the opposite order. My family and the church. So when things come up that are not those, I don't do them. When things come up that are awesome and exciting and inspiring that have nothing to do with those two opportunities, I just say no. Is it because I think they're dumb? No. Is it because I think they're insignificant? No. I have a limit to the amount of time I have in my life. I have determined what my highest priorities are, and I say no to everything else, not because they're not significant, but because by saying no to those extra things, I get to give more time and more energy and more effort to the things that I have determined are the highest priorities for me in my life. That's what happens when you think about time as a limited resource. You say no to a lot more stuff. And it's not just that you think of your life in general. I love this verse in James 4:14. You don't have to let flip over this one, but it says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. Today matters. Today matters because today, this moment, is all I can guarantee. I cannot guarantee I'll be here tomorrow. And if that is true, I want to make the best possible use of today that I can. I want to spend today like it is an invaluable resource. Because it may be the only day I've got. So how do we do that? How do we spend time like a limited resource? How do we be careful and intentional about the way we use our time? The Bible gives us some great wisdom about this. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. You can flip over this one. This one's, we're going to land on this one for quite a little bit of time here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. It says this. Just the first couple words are enough to change our lives, I think. It says this, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Well, hold on, what does that mean? That's always what we should ask. When the Bible makes these statements, you should say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to not live like a fool, but instead to live like someone who's wise? Fortunately, whenever you want to know what the Bible means, there's a universal rule that you need to follow. If the Bible doesn't make sense, do you know how you understand what it means? Keep reading. Just like if I want to understand what you mean, I shouldn't cut you off in the middle. I should just keep listening. When the Bible has something to say, if you don't understand it, you may just need to keep reading. So let's keep reading. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Make the most of every opportunity. What we are not supposed to do is fly by the seat of our pants. Instead, we are supposed to make thought-through, intentional use of our time. Thought-through, intentional use of our time. First of all, this means it is my choice. And we have to pause on this for a moment. The way I use my time is my choice. Just had this happen earlier. We had someone coming in to babysit for us at one point earlier this week, and she texted me, and she said, hey, I can't babysit for you anymore. And I said, okay, why? And she said, because my work is making me stay late. You ever heard anybody say that? My work is making me stay late. Now, there are a couple of jobs in which they can make you stay late. If you work in an emergency room as a doctor, and the other doctor does not show up, they can make you stay late. There are a couple jobs like that, right? But for the most part, no boss can make you stay late. They ask you to stay late. They claim they can make you stay late. And you have the power to say what? No. Nope, sorry, I have another priority. I'm not saying you always should say no. I'm not trying to tell you what you ought to do in that situation. I'm just trying to make sure you know that when your time is the resource we're dealing with, you have absolute authority over how your time is used. Your boss doesn't control your calendar. Your family doesn't control your calendar. Your mother and father, sister and brother, uncle and aunt, your pet does not control your laptop. Why are you laughing at that one of all of them? There are like seven people who just laughed. Your pet does not control your calendar. Your neighbor with the issue that always comes up all the time doesn't control your calendar. We have, in the name of kindness, in the name of compassion, surrendered control of our calendars to people who have no authority over them. You get to control. Now, as the person in control of your calendar, if you decide that so-and-so needs your help and you want to give them your help, that's fine. Again, we're not talking about how you ought to use that resource. We're just making sure we pause and acknowledge it's your resource. Nobody gets to make you do anything. Like that dog right over there. Nobody. Nothing. It's really important. We give up authority in our lives in a lot of areas. And when you surrender authority over an arena in your life, you are inviting chaos. Think about what this means for a moment with your time. If you let your grandmother have influence over your time, and your boss have influence over your time, and your friends down the street have influence over your time, and your grown-up adult kids have influence over your time, and you let your coworker who needs your help have influence over your time, and so-and-so who needs a ride to have influence over your time, and your neighbor downstairs in your apartment, and your, you know, eventually you're going to want to pull your hair out, right? Because all of those people want the same thing from you, and that is wildly frustrating. And you feel overwhelmed, and you feel exhausted, and you feel like you just can't handle it, and then you feel tired, and it's awful. Has anybody ever been in this situation where it feels like the whole world wants your time? And you're like, oh, I can't do it anymore. You're right, you can't, nor should you. You get control over your time. And sometimes this is a very spiritual act where you have to like spend some time in prayer saying to God, God, I know that I have surrendered authority over my time. I've surrendered authority over my time to this person. I've surrendered authority over my time to this person. I've surrendered authority over my time to this person. And God, I'm not doing it anymore. I want to take back authority over my time and surrender it to you and you alone. That is a valuable way to pray. To draw a spiritual line in the sand and say, God gets to influence how I use my time, and then I get to make decisions after that. And I will make the decisions, not everybody else. But once we say no to everybody else, how do we wisely and intentionally, in a way that is thought out and careful, make the most of every opportunity? How do we be careful how we live? The key phrase here is don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly. Let me tell you what this has looked like in my life. There came a moment about 8 years ago. At the time, I was working for the church, the church was two giant growth spurts smaller than it is now. We were under 200 people at the time. Most of my work was administrative, and honestly, I wasn't even doing a lot of that. I was meeting with a few people every week and doing probably 10% of what Carolyn does today as Pastor Kurt's administrative assistant. And I could handle all of that in my brain. But there came a moment where the church grew, and all of a sudden, I needed to go from having 3 meetings a week to having like 20 meetings a week. And it was funny, because when I had 3 meetings a week, it was pretty easy to say to people, oh, you want to meet on Thursday at 6? Fine, yeah, that's great, absolutely, let's do Thursday at 6. And it would just kind of stick in my brain. And then somebody else would say, hey, can we meet on Thursday? I'd say, sure, the only meeting I have on Thursday is 6. What time do you want to meet? Well, let's meet at 2. Sure, let's meet at 2. That's great. That's 2 meetings in my brain. I can handle 2 meetings. There came a point where I was trying to do all of my meetings this way, and it was getting to be 5 meetings, 6 meetings, 7 meetings, 8 meetings a week, and I started not remembering when my meetings were. I realized this because I would just think, I have some meetings today. I hope they all show up, because I don't know who I'm supposed to follow up with if they don't. This is not a good plan, by the way. This was a sign to me that I was not creating order out of chaos. I was just letting chaos rule my time. So there came a Sunday morning where I decided I was going to introduce 2 tiny little, have you ever heard the idea of a micro habit? It's a little itty bitty habit that allows you to completely change your life. So I was going to do this 2 little habit changes one day and see what happened. Here were the 2 changes. Change number 1 was whenever somebody said, Pastor Joshua, can I meet with you? I was going to say, hold on a minute. And then I was going to pull my phone out and check my calendar. This is genius, guys. This is, I mean, I paid hundreds of dollars to the counselor who told me to do this. And I'm giving it to you for free. You need to write this down in your calendar. But this was the rule I decided I was going to make. Not one person is ever going to try to set up a meeting with me, except I am going to say, hold on a second, and pull out my calendar. Anybody set up a meeting with me in the last month? Anybody, like several people. How many of you did I say, hold on a sec, and pull out my calendar? Every single one of you. Still today, I say the exact same words every single meeting. Hold on a sec. Like I'm drawing, like Wild West, I'm going to draw my, and then I'm going to end the conversation I decided, but there's another thing I need to do. I need to make sure it gets in there properly. So I started doing the exact same thing. At the end of the conversation, once we got the time nailed down and I knew it was going to work, I would say, hold on a second, I would touch the person's elbow. Exactly like this. Hold on a second, I touch their elbow. I need you to not leave until I get it in my calendar, because if you leave, I'm going to forget, and then it's not going to happen, and you're too important for that. To this day, I will not let you walk away from me until your appointment is in my calendar, because you matter too much, and I'm not going to let it just hopefully get in there eventually. The goal was, every appointment goes in the calendar immediately. That has expanded over the last couple of years. Now, every appointment and every task and every single thing in my life, personal, professional, church life, home life, school, kids' school life, if I'm going to meet, I have a buddy that I talk to, it's in the calendar, everything. It's all in the calendar. This is step 1 to creating order out of your time chaos. You do not get to put some of the stuff in your calendar and think your calendar is going to work. You have to make a commitment. You draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to have to slow down enough to put every single thing, and I don't care what kind of calendar you use. I use an electronic calendar because I can't help but remember it. It's always here. It's always here because it's my phone. If some of you would prefer like to carry a paper planner on you, like my wife, who is a brilliant scheduler, vastly prefers to have a paper calendar, and that works for her, and it's great. I don't care how you do it. But you have to have a calendar that is available 100% of the time to you, and you have to be committed to put every single thing in it. Every single thing. You know why? Because if you put half the things in your life on your calendar, you will not trust your calendar, and then you will not check it, and then it will be useless. But if you put everything in your calendar, you will trust your calendar, And then you will create a cycle where you think, oh yeah, calendaring works for me. So I'll put more stuff in my calendar. And then everything will be in your calendar, and so you'll trust your calendar, and then you'll go to it on a regular basis and actually use it. So the commitment is, I'm going to put every single thing in my calendar, and you just draw a start line. Starting next Tuesday, I am putting everything in my calendar for the rest of my life. Every single thing. I don't care what it is. If it's a dentist appointment. And at the beginning, one of the things I love about electronic calendars is you can set alarms. If you're not in the habit of checking your calendar, you just make an alarm for everything. My phone goes off like 57,000 times a day. It goes off if I said I was going to pray for somebody. My phone just buzzed, actually. It just buzzed because my niece, Rose, is on a mission trip. Her first mission trip ever. And I told her, from the day you leave to the day you get back, I will pray for you every single day. Now, I got to be honest, I'm not going to remember that. I'm not going to remember that at all. I'm in the middle of doing a lot of stuff. But my phone went off while I was holding it, and I said, oh, pray for Rose. She's on her mission trip. She's on a mission trip, by the way, to Hawaii. But Rose, if you happen to listen to this, we're praying for you in Hawaii. But, you know, so that's the commitment. Everything goes into your calendar. The next step, and I want you to notice this. Did you catch the second half of this, though? It's not just don't act thoughtlessly, because that's what that is. When you decide to put everything in your calendar, what you are doing is choosing to be thoughtful rather than thoughtless. If you say to somebody, if somebody says to you, you know what, I'd like to have coffee with you, and you say, yeah, that'd be great, let's do that. You know what that was? Thoughtless. That was a thoughtless thing you didn't actually mean. I know, because lots of people say these things, and nowhere near the amount of coffee is drunk that would be drunk if people actually did that all of the time. I watch the coffee. But anyway, what is thoughtful is when you say, yes, I would love to have coffee with you. Hold on a second. What are you doing on Wednesday at 2? See how that's more thoughtful? What are you doing next Saturday at 11? What are you doing in 2 weeks? Now, you don't get to have nearly as many fake meetings when you decide to do it that way, because you realize that you have a limited amount of time, but you actually get to have the meetings you want to have. You get to actually have coffee with people. It's great. So, intentional. But then the second half of this that I thought was amazingly important. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. This is not just you using a calendar. This is you using a calendar as a tool to make sure that what you're doing is what God wants you to be doing. I was reading a book on prayer. I think I might have shared this a few weeks ago, but I don't recall. I was reading a book on prayer earlier at the beginning of this week, this year, by one of the great men of God in our country. And his introductory chapter, he said, okay, here's the basics. Now, I know all of you are doing all of this stuff, but I just want to make sure I've said it, and then we'll get to the real stuff after this. I read that chapter and thought, I am not doing his basics. That's not good. But one of the things he said in there that I do and that I thought was very helpful, that should be, we should see this as a basic of prayer, is to every day present to God our schedule of what we're doing that day. Hey, God, here's the stuff I'm doing today. Let me know if you want to change anything. Hey, God, here's the stuff I'm... So this morning, I pray behind that little curtain over there a lot of times in the morning before anybody gets here. And I was sitting there, and I pulled out my calendar. I had 5 meetings, and then I had to prepare for church tonight, and then I had church tonight, and then I'll take my kids home. And well, it doesn't take a long time to review what you're doing. I mean, like, literally under a minute most of the time to review what you're doing if it's all on your calendar, because you've already done the hard work of being organized. So you can pull it out. And so every morning, I try to with God. I pull out my phone. God, here's what I'm doing today. If there's anything you want to say in any of those meetings that I have not thought of, please make sure you let me know. God, here are the people's names. Try to say those names out loud. God, here's what we're talking about tonight. If there's anything you want to say, please let me know. God, please be with me when I talk. I don't want them to hear me. I want them to hear you so bad. And I just go on and I talk through my day. Nothing complicated. You don't need fancy spiritual Jesus-y words. It's just, God, you're really good at stuff and I'm not so good at stuff. And I'd really like you to be directing my day. That would be wonderful. And so it's this balance, this partnership of you being committed to organizing yourself on a calendar, and then you being committed to inviting God to take leadership in that process. For me, that also means about once a week, I have to review what I did last week and what I want to do next week. So, real basic calendaring stuff, those two steps. Everything goes on the calendar, and every single morning, I pray through my day. You will do those two things. Just those two simple things. You will change your effectiveness level beyond what you can conceive. You will go, if you think of yourself, I want you to think on it, if zero is being a completely ineffective human being, and 10 is being like divinely effective, like, you know, God is inviting you to take over his job. If any of you think you are a 10, please repent now. But somewhere, we're all somewhere on that scale. You might think you're a 2, you might think you're a 6, you might think you're a 3, whatever. If you are not doing the two things I just said, whatever number you're at right now, you will go up 3 numbers immediately if you do those two things. Guaranteed. I will guarantee it or your money back. But here's the thing, though. But I don't want to leave it right there. It is not just a matter of starting those habits. That is how you make sure your schedule, a schedule matches your time to your priorities. I started with that point. And I want to make sure you think about this. It's not scheduling for the sake of scheduling. It is making sure that your resources, your time resource matches your priorities. You have priorities. That's why I started off by saying you have to know what your priorities are. So you know what to say yes to and what to say no to, which meetings to take and which meetings not to take, which things to volunteer for, which things not to volunteer for. You know, so you have to know what your priorities are, and then you have to make sure they're written down where you can compare whatever comes up right now as an opportunity to the priorities you've already decided on. Because in the moment, everything sounds good. Have you ever noticed that? In the moment, somebody comes up with an idea and you're like, oh, that sounds so cool. And then like 5 minutes later, you're talking to somebody else and they come up with an idea and you're like, oh, that sounds so good. Anybody else ever felt like this? Like everything sounds awesome? It is clarifying your own priorities and getting them down on paper and then recording what you have to accomplish in a calendar that helps you say yes or no to other people's awesome ideas. And if somebody ever says, particularly somebody who is here with us tonight, if somebody ever says, hey, you know, that's an awesome idea, but I'm not able to help, just say, okay, that's great. All right, no stress, no pressure, no worries, don't worry, it's okay. Because it is possible that they are trying to bring order out of chaos in their schedule, and you don't want to be the person who guilts them into failure. Right? Like, we don't ever want to do that. We don't pressure people to do stuff. Then here's the final step. Not only do you need to admit your limitations, make a schedule that matches your time to your priorities. Finally, a schedule creates impact if you use it. If you actually use it. I love this verse. It's Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 says this. It says, so, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If you schedule faithfully for a day, it will be useless. If you schedule brilliantly for a week, it will be useless. But if you schedule faithfully for your life, it will change your universe. The principle here is patient endurance. It's a major part of what the Bible teaches. Here, the language for it is, let's not get tired of doing what is good, and then we'll reap the blessing if we don't give up. It's going to be, if you decide to make a change like scheduling, I remember a time where, hold on a second, let me check my calendar, did not seem like a good idea. She was, it was her first time in church. She was on the verge of weeping. Her marriage was falling apart. Her kids were getting taken away from her. She was in an awful situation. She was so broken and so hurting. And she just wanted me to say, when she said, the only time I can meet with you is Thursday at 3 o'clock. I have to meet with you, Pastor Joshua. I have to meet with you right then. It's the only time this week I can meet with you. I've got to. I got to tell you. Hold on a second. Let me check my calendar. Did not feel warm and fuzzy. It didn't. It felt mean. And it turned out I had something I couldn't move on Thursday at 3 o'clock or whatever time she'd said. I said, I'm so sorry. I can't do that. And I'm not a perfect scheduler. I make mistakes in my calendar all the time. Well, sometimes anyway. But I'm sorry. It didn't feel good in that moment to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't meet that. But the alternative would have been two people showing up in my office at 3 p.m. on Thursday, and that would not have felt better. Right? That would have been worse, because I would have had to say to somebody, I'm sorry, you're not important. Or, I'm sorry, I messed up for the 47th time if I did this a lot. There are all sorts of reasons to give up when you decide to do something good, which is why we encourage you to make one new set of habits at a time. Because it's tough to make new habits. It's why in this series, we're going to talk about ordering your time. We're going to talk about ordering your physical world around you, your space. And we're going to talk about ordering your resources. And I do not, under any circumstances, want any of you to try to reorder your time, your space, and your resources all at the same time. I am begging you, don't do that. I am giving you some hints today about how to do time. Next week, we'll give you some hints about how to do space. The following week, we'll give you some hints about how to do resources. But throughout this month that we're talking about reordering our lives, bringing order out of chaos, the challenge is to pick one of these three areas that you want to grow in, and then to narrow it down to a reasonable goal that you can actually accomplish in a month, and then each week to take a reasonable step forward in that area. Why? And for those of you who've been here for the last couple of weeks, this is becoming a little like I'm repeating myself, but the reason we do it that way is because lots and lots of changes that are sloppily started don't last. But, and this is all what this series is about, intentionality yields long-term results. So I want to help you intentionally yield long-term results in your life by making just one set of changes this month. And then next month we can work on something else. And at some point, if you want to come back to the other three areas, that's great. But if you, I would rather you succeed in making one small change this month than fail in making three big ones. Does that make sense to you? I would rather you succeed in making one small change this month than fail in making three big ones. And I think those are our real choices.